Listen up, Australia. They're not here.
They're not here.
They're off enjoying a beer and a very long lunch.
So we've got some best bits for you.
This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Well, just for the day. I'll be back tomorrow to drive you home again, Kennedy Malloy. Hello, it's Dangerous Dave here. I'm here, and I have a winner for you for the Melbourne Cup. I've got a tip. It's already been run. Vowan Declare wins the Melbourne Cup.
At the 400 metres, Vowan Declare back to the inside. Two legs, Prince of Arran. Then came Hunting Hornhill Paradiso, late Master of Reality with Vowan Declare on the inside. Then Prince of Arran, Raymond Tusk Finch. It's Master of Reality. Vowan Declare up on the inside. Vowan Declare, Prince of Arran is lifting late with El Paradiso. Master of Reality just in front. Vowan Declare kicks. Vowan Declare's won it. For Australia, they're on top of the world. Beats Prince of Arran, Il Paradiso in a photo finish and Master of Reality, a classic cup.
Coming up this afternoon, Grinspoon will play live from this studio. Rachel Griffith speaks about horse racing, Ride Like a Girl. You know the movie with Sam Neill, co-star with Mick Mallott. Anyway, we're talking to Rachel Griffiths a little later. Glenn Robbins, Lee Sales, it's a jam-packed show for you. And speaking of sport, Tommy Gleiser, Tommy G from Have You Been Paying Attention, one of our favourite guests, he joined us to share his thoughts on the sound of sport. It's Tommy G.
I know you like sport, you're taking up golf. Do you watch a lot on the telly?
Well, this is the thing. I think all guys have this thing where they love nothing better than sport on the TV. Even if they're not into that sport, they just like the fact it's on. It is our happy place. And I tend to leave the TV on. Now, Jane, would that drive you mad if the TV was just blaring out sport?
Well, welcome to my world.
Oh, okay, you are used to this.
I am used to
well,
it.
Well, the TV stays on. So, like, all this past weekend, our house has been filled with these soothing sounds. Four days of it, Janie.
You'll be pleased to know.
It's like whale songs for me.
It is, or encouraged that I'm the one that turns Bathurst
on. You liked
on
a bit of Bathurst?
Or Formula One. I love watching.
4 days of hotted up cars driving around Mount Panorama. Yeah. And hey, I reckon Bathurst could do with its own celebrity race. But
I agree.
Hear me out. Strictly for celebrities who've lost their license in the past couple of years.
Oh, who would the lineup be?
You'd have Paulini on the starting grid. Warnie. Delta and Julie Goodwin can come up.
Fantastic. Nolsey's got to be
Nolsey's
there somewhere.
There.
Yeah. Is the tennis player?
Oh, Bernard.
Bernard Tomic's hand, he's taken off.
Hey, you are onto a really
thank you
good thing there.
Put that forward to next year.
And last man standing.
Absolutely.
And they have to go through a bottle O.
Anyway,
instead of pit stops, it's a bottle O.
Anyway, so we've
fun.
Had.
Would you do it?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be. And Mickey, would you qualify?
I would.
Done. And
drive a bus.
Yeah. In fact, if you know that it's happening next year, you've got 12 months to lose your license.
Just to get in it.
Just putting out there.
That's great incentive.
Thank you. Anyway, Bathurst is over, but summer is kind of just about to start, which means for the next few months, our house will be filled with sounds like this.
Oh! Edged through the slips, Gordon.
Endless hours. And you can tell from the sound of the crowd, that's Sheffield Shield.
But I know that that's many people's happy place, the cricket has to be on, the test has to be on. And
rolls
people,
on.
Yes. It's
that would be fun to do, like just play crowd response.
And
you
out
have to get a guess what
which
the
match
sport
it is.
That's a golf clap.
That's well.
Oh, that's Sheffield Shield.
Well, Mickey, you mentioned it because the twin of your endless cricket and Sheffield Shield matches is, of course, this. And that golf clap reminds me of the sort of reaction Mick gets on Have You Been Paying Attention. It's polite.
How very dare you.
See that sound that you just heard there? I was on the golf course with one of my good friends. I won't name him Doc. Rob McGinnis. And he'd agreed to come and play golf, but he was supposed to be working.
Obvious.
And at the phone's rang and his boss is going, where are you? He goes, I'm up in Shepparton delivering calves at the moment. At which point in the background you just hear that sound. Oh. Have you got it? Four! Nice. And that's me.
Done.
Four.
It's nothing like listening to day after day of men wearing pants that should never be seen in public in some Southeast Asian low-level invitational.
I've always said this. I reckon it's an excuse for otherwise, like, insanely heterosexual men to get a little camp.
True.
To get a little camp.
It's very colourful.
You can put on a knit vest. You can wear a vest.
You can wear tartan.
You can wear tartan. You can tuck your pants into your socks.
Done.
If you want it.
And a jaunty hat.
You can wear a jaunty hat, cap. Do what you like. Okay. And a glove.
You can do anything. All right. But when you leave the telly, the sporting channel on all night, eventually they run out of mainstream sports and you end up hearing stuff like this. And I think, I don't want to go into the room, I want to try and guess, and I figure that, any thoughts?
Well, it's close to mixed art, I'm saying squash.
I reckon it's either table tennis or our sliding door's stuck. I think that might have been table tennis.
They go to replays. They squeaky shoes too.
They never run out of sports, Janie. So that is the background, right. That is the soundtrack.
Tom, I told you how
what I can say, I'm completely used to living my life like that. That's it. Embrace it.
Found all that kind of horny. I'm going to go home and get on the couch. Thanks for swinging by. You're awesome.
Tom Gleisner, Kennedy Malloy. Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy are back in studio live tomorrow. Look, they've taken the day off. They thought, why not? Let's do it. Melbourne Cup Day. Maybe have a long lunch. I'm tipping that's where they are right now. Back tomorrow, yeah. But we've been blessed with some absolute special stars on the show, like Glenn Robbins, who was in just a week or two ago. A friend of the show, someone who's known Mick a very long time, probably knows Mick better than most. In fact, he thinks he's the best person to write a Mick memoir. Glenn Robbins will be joining us soon. What a year for live music on Kennedy Malloy also. We've had Paul Kelly play live, the Teskey Brothers, Jimmy Barnes. You can check all those videos at kennedymalloy.com.au. But one of our favourites joined us in the midst of their national tour, and that's Grinspoon, who, by the way, people of the Gold Coast, if you're listening, they're playing Thursday at the Gold Coast. And here they are right now.
Grinspoon, ladies and gentlemen.
With 7 albums and more than 1,000 gigs to their name, one of Australia's great live bands, Grinspoon, are back on the road touring nationally, playing all their greatest hits through till November. It's the Chemical Heart Tour. Playing dates in Melbourne, Canberra, Wollongong, Hobart, Adelaide, Newcastle, Sydney, Gold Coast and Brisbane. Head to grinspoon.com.au for dates and ticket info. And right now, Phil, Pat, Joe and Christian join us to perform their classic from 2002, Chemical Heart. Please welcome to the show, Grinspoon.
Can't get started. Chemical heart. took for a ride, and you need to get out, my friend. You spend all your time just walking around instead. Like black roses, somebody to hold for them. Time I get started, you pull me apart. Can't get started, chemical heart. Every time I get started, you pull me apart. Yeah, I can't get started, chemical heart. Every time I get started, you pull me apart. I can't get started.
Kennedy Malloy, the Chemical Heart Tour is coming all over Australia. The Forum in Melbourne tomorrow, then on Wednesday, then Canberra, Wollongong, Hobart, Adelaide, Wollongong, Newcastle, Sydney, Broadbeach, Brisbane, and more. And we've got Pat and Phil joining us in studio right now from Grinspoon. Just an amazing performance.
Hey, guys.
Chemical Heart was
Phil,
just unreal.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Top shelf.
Yeah.
Thank you. Top shelf.
That sounds so great in our little studio setup we've got here.
The full band and the full rig. You've made an effort. We're really happy to have you. Thank you
very much for having us.
Oh, we're happy to hear you back on the road, too.
We are. Why has it been so... Why have you taken a hiatus? Why are you back on the road now?
Oh, it was a really good question. We went out on a tour in 2017 and kind of celebrated our first album. It was kind of like this full 90s nostalgia trip. Yes. And it was specifically that material.
Yes.
And so this time we wanted to like maybe go play a bit more of our material out of our seven albums.
Sure.
So we're kind of doing a bit more of a broader, inclusive tour, which a lot of songs weren't played earlier.
A lot of stuff we haven't played before in a long time. Yeah. A lot of stuff of our second album, Easy, which is turning 20
Your
next year.
Your fans will love that. Is it 20 years?
it's been ridiculous.
I can't believe that. I remember when you guys started.
So did I. Yeah.
These guys are amazing.
Hey, are you really going to, Phil? I know that you love putting in extra effort with, you know, production and being a bit creative. That's sort of...
The last tour we were able to like have some fancy tricks, and tomorrow night at the Forum in Melbourne we're going to have some fancy tricks as well. But I kept on going, can we have this? And they're like, no, we can't afford it. I'm like, can we please have this?
So does it involve going to Spotlight and getting stuff?
Maybe not for me though. But there are some tricks. There are some bells and whistles.
That's like writing film scripts. Yeah, like the scene you'll write will be set at the Melbourne Cup, and by the time it gets to film, it'll be a story in a bar being told about what happened at the Melbourne Cup. You've got to dial it down. Do you still get a buzz? How's touring changed for you over the years? Because it would have been young and fun and crazy and Triple J days. And do you still get the same buzz?
I feel a little more now that I feel really grateful to be still doing the gig, whereas back when I was 20, I really was like a little bit...
I deserve this.
Yeah.
I think we're a better band now. You know, we were probably a 2 out of 3 ain't bad band back then, you know what I mean?
You sound great.
And Pat, you were one of the early rockers to get into children's music, is that correct?
I was, yes. I was. It's a thing now.
I see. Everyone's jumbed on your bandwagon.
I know, I'll claim that one. I'll take that one.
Are you still sort of
Do you want me to have a plug?
Please give a plug.
Absolutely. Yes. Winter of the White Bear, which is a new children's book that I've done the soundtrack to. It's a kind of co-production with the guy that I work with named Martin Chatterton. It's trying to shine a light on slavery. It's a beautiful book, Winter of the White Bear.
There you go. It's a perfect place to plug on Kennedy Malloy. We go right around the country. And we just love... You've played, honestly, one of my favourite songs of all time.
You.
I was miming the violins in here doing the strings.
Where were the violins?
That's the bells and whistles we couldn't afford.
And Mickey, of course, has cowbell, which, you know, you just...
Can I just say, I'm just finding this now because you mentioned you write for children. I received some lyrics that one of my boys, who's 7, Lenny, wrote today. Can I read them out to you? This is
your
radio show. This is for a song, and if you can turn this, these are lyrics for a song. Her song is called "I Farted, It Tickled." I farted, it tickled. My butt made a pickle. It made another, but it was hot and it was bubbly, so I didn't do it again. Now, is there anything?
As you can see, like father, like son.
Yeah. And John Lennon-y.
The apple hasn't fallen far from that tree. You think you could work with that?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a song
we're
in
there. Sure. Yeah, sure. Of course, you guys are aware that Jane is in the band. What's the name of your band?
Highly Strung.
Yeah. Highly Strung.
We have not played think you're together for many years.
You're clear for most of those dates. Is there any? Have you worked out an undercard?
We've got an undercard in the foyer.
Do you need any?
Come down to the foyer and play next to the merchandise.
Are you any good at doing
thing?
Leather and Lace by Stevie Nicks? I know that song.
What were the influences of Highly Strung?
Oh, was it was Neil Young. It was very Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Crosby, Stills, not young.
Not young.
Not young. Never cared for young.
We're keen for Highly
Strung.
Let's hook it up.
I play a bit of guitar still. So
do you know I love a bit of cowbell? I keep it here.
No, we don't.
I'm happy to help out any way I can.
Dave, can you please tell everybody where we can see?
Okay, so tomorrow night, new show at the Forum in Melbourne. That'll be the 15th. That's tomorrow. You can go Canberra on the 18th for our friends in Wollongong on Saturday. Then next Wednesday, it's a sold out at the Hobart Odeon Theatre there. Then you've got Adelaide the 26th of October. Then Newcastle the 1st of November.
Yeah, but before that, we've got Wollongong on the 31st, which is Halloween.
Oh, it is too.
Sold out. And then Newcastle on the 1st of November. And then...
Then you're going to
Horden Pavilion in Sydney.
Good Lord.
You know, like the back of your
Gold
hand.
Gold Coast and Brisbane. Yeah, grinspoon.com.au.
What could go wrong?
Well, no. So much. Our bass player fell off stage on the first show and has sprained his ankle, hence he's hobbling around and has to play seated. Which
it's getting dangerous out there. Phil Collins fell off stage the other day. Watch yourselves out there.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. That was just a fabulous performance. We loved hearing you live. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Kennedy Malloy. Hey, we just had Grinspoon on before, who were fantastic. If you want to see the video of the guys performing live here in the Kennedy Malloy studio, hit up the website, kennedymalloy.com.au. They're so great. Now, Melbourne Cup Day it is. Vow and Declare has won the Melbourne Cup, an Australian horse. Rachel Griffiths, who is a movie maker. The Australian film Ride Like a Girl, which has been nominated for a bunch of awards and stars our very own Mick Malloy, came in to have a chat about all things Ride Like a Girl and Mick.
Our next guest, Rachel Griffiths' first big break was in the film Muriel's Wedding.
Oh, by the way, I'm not alone. I'm with Muriel.
It was set her on a path to Hollywood with a string of successful movie and TV roles, including her multiple Emmy-nominated and Golden Globe-winning performance.
Winner is Rachel Griffiths
in 6 Feet Under.
I use sarcasm to hide how ridiculously vulnerable I really am.
Now, Rachel's returned to Australia to make her directing debut in the film Ride Like a Girl, based on Michelle Payne's history-making moment at the 2015 Melbourne Cup.
Who's that riding your horse, baby?
A woman jockey.
The girl's never going to win the Melbourne Cup, mate.
Michelle Payne, get up to win.
And even stars our own Mick Malloy.
Another pain, eh?
Yeah.
Is that tap ever going to be turned off?
Here to tell us all about it, we welcome to the show, Rachel Griffiths.
Well, it's a privilege after all this time, after a year of speaking about this great movie, to have the director herself in, and we have to give great
kudos. And the star, don't forget her muse.
Sorry, it's not all about you. Can I just even introduce Rachel Griffiths? Oh, welcome to Kennedy Malloy. I feel like we've mentioned you... nearly every day since Mick has been starring in this great film of yours. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's a ripper. Destined to be a great Australian film.
It will be a great Australian classic.
It's a great story, and you've told it beautifully.
Can I just point out, Mick has been saying the film's called Rides Like a Girl.
Oh, well, look.
And I've had to correct him.
That was an early draft.
Don't look up Rides Like a Girl.
It's extraordinary what a difference an S can make.
Yes, it is.
In the meaning of something.
Big fan of both films. So let me just say this. You are incredible. You've created an incredible film. I may have overplayed my own hand in this film just a tad, I think.
You reckon?
But I was happy to be on board. Tell us what it was like to direct your first feature film.
Very overwhelming. I say a bit off a lot and had to chew hard.
Well, you did. You chewed it up, spat it out.
You didn't pick just a small story, did you? You've got horses.
Yeah.
You've got to recreate the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah. And not just horses, but thoroughbreds.
And thoroughbreds,
They're their own unique species.
You didn't limp in, did you?
No. I think that's that thing, especially, you know, I'm 50 years old. If you're going to fail, fail greatly. Look, it takes 4 years from having the idea to do a film to bringing it to market. And I just can't imagine doing that unless your entire intellectual and emotional system were utterly captivated and hijacked by a story. And this film is the right film for the moment.
Do you remember where you were when she won this Melbourne Cup?
Yes.
Did this story almost come to you immediately? Did you watch her win a cup and go, my God, I have to tell this story?
That is how my brain works.
Yeah.
You're watching with girlfriends.
I was. Rachel Ward once described me as a tornado, which I took offence to at the time. But I think it actually is probably a pretty apt description of my mind, and stuff is always swirling and flying around. No, I was at a barbecue in Brighton.
Okay.
And quite a lot of artists there, and uniquely apparently artists, because of the paints or thinners they work with, don't have boys. So there was a whole pile of girls and one boy, my son, at the party. And everybody had their little slips, and, you know, we wafted in fairly half-assed to watch the race because, you know, I'm not a girl of track born.
No.
And I don't even remember what little slip I had, actually. At the 400, we heard Prince of Penzance for the first time, and then she crossed the 3, and that's when I heard Michelle Payne on Prince of Penzance. Mm. I was like, is there a girl racing? A girl's jockeys?
What the hell?
And then all the girls in the room just dropped their little piece of paper. They just all fluttered out like an explosion, all started screaming, go Michelle, go Michelle. And when she won, they all went bananas. And everyone at the party will testify. Within 5 minutes, I knew the whole pain history. we'd met Stevie. She had had her little speech just in case I wasn't in love with the story.
Everything was falling into place in storybook, in a fairy tale. Unfolding before you.
It is a fairy tale. And, you know, I love a Disney princess film, and I don't say that ironically. I really do love them. And she is a Disney princess. She lost a mother at 6. She has an unconventional dream, you know, which every Disney princess has to have some dream.
And she has a beautiful father who brings her up.
Beautiful father. You have to have a beautiful father in a Disney princess film, even though they can be eccentric or,
that's
you know,
right. They're
flawed.
Little flawed and not normal. And you overcome adversity and the naysayers. True. And
then you have the beast, as in me.
How dare you?
And someone pointed out the most beautiful aspect, which I can't believe this hasn't occurred to me, is that she meets her prince in the final third of the film, and together they cross the finish line and make Australian history. Her Prince of Penzance.
Get me a ticket to this movie.
Did Sam Neill get to you at any stage? Because it was described to me as a two-hander between me and Sam, and then by the time it was edited, I do feel some of my best work must have been left on the floor. No,
Rachel, you're an actress as well, so you can answer this as best you like.
We had to cut quite a bit of material, Mick. The accent kept slipping.
What accent?
Sometimes you didn't sound as Ballarat as we'd like.
That's Ballarat.
I could hear that.
The
Bendigo twang.
I could hear the Bendigo twang.
One of the other things I love about the Melbourne Cup, if you're in Melbourne, you're so used to getting your public holiday and it being absorbed into your year. But if you ever get the chance to experience either interstate or overseas, it's a very special occasion. As we mentioned Changi, we mentioned others. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, you'll find a transistor or a radio.
And
you can be on a beach in Thailand, or you can be up a mountain in Nepal, or you can be somewhere. It's amazing your ability to huddle around a transistor for this one moment. I remember watching it up in Kakadu. We were on a Ranger uranium mine, and all the workers were there. There was one bar, and all the girls who'd been there had been up there for months. They had a special day for Melbourne Cup, and you had to dress up. And I saw some of the finest dressed people, and like all these miners who were in suits, all the women who looked gorgeous. And for them, it was just a break from their normal routine. And they all came. They all got smashed in the true tradition. But they were there watching the race, looking at the race in the middle of nowhere. And you go, you know, this has pull.
It's always been that. If you don't get lucky during the race, you might get lucky later.
Correct.
After race 5, I find, is generally. So follow anyone carrying their shoes in one hand.
Everybody, get off your ass and go to the movies. It's really important that you don't hang around and just go, oh, I'll wait till it comes on the telly. I'll wait for it to
be. This is a crowd pleaser. You want to see this surrounded by
people.
And
you want to go with friends, family, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever. Go along and support this wonderful Australian film.
Good on you, Rachel. Well done.
Thanks
for
your support.
Something out of nothing.
Great job.
Good on you.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy, you're listening to Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Day Off. Now, Richard Wilkins. We love Dickie. We love Richard Wilkins. Or we did love Richard Wilkins.
on the Today Show, yes. Richard Wilkins, was doing a review of Ride Like a Girl.
Oh, my God, my film.
Your film.
Oh, wow.
I tell you what, just wonderful performances. Sam Neill, Stevie Payne and Teresa Palmer, just wonderful. It's a fantastic film. Ride Like a Girl hit cinemas in a fortnight, really giving this one a big rap.
Oh. Jeez. Mick. Mick.
Oh, that felt
Mick.
So good.
Oh, okay.
Where are you?
Oh, okay.
I didn't seem to mention.
I get it.
Did he not see you? Was he in?
Did you want to hear it again, just in case we missed?
In case we missed him.
No, we don't need to do that.
I tell you what, just wonderful performances. Sam Neill, Stevie Payne, and Teresa Palmer, just wonderful. It's a fantastic film. Ride Like a Girl hit cinemas in a fortnight. Really giving this one a big rap.
Oh yeah.
Why would you try and derail my foray onto the big screen? Who was that? Wilkins. Yeah. You've made a very powerful enemy, mate.
No, you've had your fair share of Dickie.
Yeah. You know what you've done? You've awoken a sleeping giant.
Don't create more enemies.
Take your giant schlong.
You can't afford.
And
well, see, that's a compliment.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Oh, well, apparently.
I did a nude scene.
No, you have not done a nude scene.
I did a nude scene at Caulfield Racetrack. And let's just say some of the race horses had to look away in embarrassment.
Cannot blame Richard.
When I come on, told you this, there's a flutter of programs when I come on Rides Like a Girl. No.
Ride Like a Girl.
Ride Like a Girl. You have no respect for network stars, and I do. And I'll tell you what.
What?
My mate, Richard Wilkins, is on the line
what?
Now. Hey, Dickie, how are you?
Good, Dan. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm a huge fan, Richard.
you did a review of Ride Like a Girl, Richard, this morning. And
yes.
I loved it because...
It wasn't very comprehensive, I felt.
No, you were very complimentary about the film.
I tell you what, just wonderful performances. Sam Neill, Stevie Payne and Teresa Palmer, just wonderful. It's a fantastic film. Ride Like a Girl hit cinemas in a fortnight, really giving this one a big rap.
Are you...
Yes. Now, listen, can I just clear something up, firstly?
Yes.
Firstly, I do review a movie on the day it's released, i.e. I will be doing that in a fortnight's time on the 26th. Okay. So what I was doing this morning on the show, and thanks for watching, by the way.
I do watch every morning.
Thank you. Was doing a piece with Michelle Payne and the fabulous Rachel Griffiths, who I had the pleasure of. So it was ostensibly, if I can use that word, and I did mention Sam because I reckon it's the best thing he's done in a whole long time. And
is it? Steve. Is it though? I mean, Sam. Do you feel Sam's overrated?
Stop
How
it!
You say
Sam's
that.
He's a lovely bloke. He's a Kiwi, and he can do no wrong.
He's like the Kiwi mafia. That's what it is. Richard Wilde, Wilkins. And but you don't think there was room somewhere along the line to mention a rising star, trooper.
You've had plenty of cracks over the years. Yeah. Your role, along with Shane Bourne and Magda, dare I say, Dr. Magda, you know, it was a small but pivotal role, Nick.
Richard, would you consider having me on for a one-on-one chat about the movie and my performance?
The industry.
And how I got up, about my character. And how I arrived.
Well, how many seconds are you in the movie for, do you reckon?
Oh,
wow,
I love
this interview's got long.
25?
Well, how much was Marlon Brando in the first Superman? It's not the amount of screen time, it's how you occupy the silver screen.
Are you
screen,
liking which... yourself to Marlon Brando?
Well, in size, I am.
The size of talent?
Well, maybe. I could be Australia's Marlon Brando.
Well, you couldn't be. Don't be stupid. That's ridiculous.
Am I to assume that you will be when you cover the film properly, be putting me under the microscope and including me in the
scene. Do you think you contributed markedly to the film? You don't think they could have had some bloke off the street who... You know,
I believe that film would...
put your mates in, but, you know, really.
I believe that film wouldn't be the same without me and what I bring to the giant screen.
I tell you what, that film is fantastic.
It is,
and
great.
And I want it to be a smash hit because it's just a great story and it's well told.
And we want to get behind the Australian film industry, don't we?
Right. You know what I bring to the screen, Richard? You know what I bring? Four chins. Four chins. Okay? I want you to, in any written review or any movie piece, please make a mention of me because it's...
Don't be aggressive towards Richard, please.
Richard, I just felt that was... By omission, has disrespected the film.
I loved it, anyway.
Are you missing out on something somewhere in your life at the moment, eh?
Poor guy, needs a bit of a boost with his self-esteem.
Gee whiz, what's going on?
Hey, we'll all wake
all
up
right,
with
Richard.
Today, tomorrow.
Today,
thank you, Richard.
Get on the show. Good well done.
Thanks, Richard.
Beautiful. Right. See you.
See you, matey. Bye.
Kennedy Malloy.
onlookers, a source close to industry, source insiders, pals, friends of, associates, speculation, eyewitnesses.
Winning number three for Elle Macpherson.
It's time to call Bull's Sealed Edition.
Whoa.
I think that's enough warning for kids to be out of the car.
Yes.
It's going to be a bit of wang talk.
Well, there is. This is in the New Weekly. This is the first time I believe they've done this. It's a bonus sealed section. Hollywood hunks and their junk. Mm. The nudes they tried to ban. This is nuts. This is written all over the
literally.
Front of it. It is. So I thought, this can't be too
You've
bad.
You've rushed down this morning.
I did not.
You virtually camped out overnight, waiting for the sealed section.
Yeah, I had no clue it would be Come this on. Graphic. This is unbelievable, right?
It's Nads Akimbo.
So you tear it open.
Yeah.
I go,
Have you shown it?
I thought it would be bulges in jeans, which is horrible enough.
Can you start her off slightly? Can you start her off lightly
I will, with Bieber first.
With
right.
Bieber. Start
so I put it,
Bieber.
Doing. Justin Bieber, completely naked, all I can see is his wang. Look.
Oh, my. This is, and it's quite substantial.
Yes.
And look, he's got a great body.
He has.
But it's a shocking sight.
So, Pete,
it is. Shocking. It's a frightening.
I was shocked to see
it.
I thought it would all be covered up.
What about his mate? You got his mate there?
Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom.
Oh, gosh, and that's quite a bloom.
It's completely naked. Looks like he's just having fun by himself.
Mm.
Let's just turn over the page to... Holy nutballs! When I think of Frenchmen, I don't want to see Gerard Depardieu.
Wow.
It looks damaged.
That's actually
what do you mean?
That's actually
swollen or damaged.
There's something gone wrong.
It's his passport
with
photo. That's why I kicked him out of France.
But does this,
forget paying your taxes, mate? Pop some pants on.
Is this right?
What about Prince
I
Philip?
Will. There is. No, I swear to God. Be. Prince Philip wearing a kilt without anything underneath. Well,
surely that's photoshopped.
He's done that on purpose.
That's photoshopped, isn't it?
No.
Would Prince Philip really?
That looks like June in a Pickering calendar.
May I just, though, suggest this to you, Denise?
Why don't you just put it down for a minute? You've been carrying it around all day. It's been rolled up under your arm.
Yeah. Listen, I only saw it about an hour before I came in here.
Jane.
Here's the thing.
Seriously, come on.
This is close-up.
Stop it.
No, it's... Carl Stefanovic.
What?
They've got his bulge. And if I was Carl, I'd be very annoyed that they're putting... Well, there he could be pretty happy with that.
Well, they've put a big circle around it in case you miss it.
If they did this to
women... What about
Dickie
Wilkins? He's supposed to have a massive...
They haven't got a picture of Dickie in here. No, but what I want to say
it's a lift
is
out.
They better do camel toe watch next
Whoa.
Week. Because...
I beg your pardon.
Well, if they're doing that with men... I find that just outrageous.
No, they don't do that. They don't they do their cellulite special? Like
well,
where they do cellulite at the beach?
It's pretty much every
they
week.
They get
but
some star.
Denise, I don't know about you. I was just horrified about that and just think, what's happening to the world?
Okay, stop reading it.
It is horrifying.
Come on,
I kept using it as reference.
But could I take your copy
of
home
course you
just to do some research?
Of course. I've got another.
Oh, we're going on beyond Wang Watch.
Yes, because I just thought that might be enough Wang Watch.
Okay.
Nikki Webster's 7-year marriage over.
No.
Why? Because she's too young?
No, because I think
young?
She was just on the telly then and she's got two
she's
lovely
seven
kids.
In my eyes.
I don't believe that either.
Never grew up.
Is it a beat up?
I think it's a beat up. Nicole and Keith, shock split.
I call bull.
They do this every week to Nicole and Keith. It doesn't matter how many times.
It would be
times.
A shock split because they're not actually together.
And
are they? It's one of those arrangements.
No,
of course
it's not.
You know that.
I beg your pardon.
Not even their real kids. They bust them in. They bust in the kids.
They are so loved up. It's
do you
not
know why
funny.
It's
he
on the ropes?
He wrote a song about
he
it.
He wrote a song about what she's like in the boudoir.
Which was
in the sack.
Which is very complimentary, by the way.
Which is why I think, why would you be busting up now? Have
it's
you got it there?
Yeah, take a listen.
Okay, so the bit where he
she's
says, I know
everybody
knows, that's
well,
the bit that was
she's
probably...
a maniac in the bed, she's a brainiac in her head.
That's brilliant.
At least there's one brainiac in the house. It's not the best rhyme I've ever heard.
Thank you, Denise, for sharing. You may take the New Weekly home with
if
you.
If you don't mind. And
Everyone
look
knows,
out
she
next
puts it
week.
About a bit,
yeah, next week.
Nobody
Denise
knows.
And John over. She's left for Lily the Llama.
It tells all.
Okay, as long as I don't see John's wang in the sales section. Can you
thank you,
promise
Denise
me
Scott.
That's not going to happen?
Listen up, Australia. While Mick and Jane have a well-earned break, we're heading back to the archives. This is Kennedy Malloy's Roster Day Off.
Jane and Mick enjoying a roster day off for Melbourne Cup Day. They'll be back in studio to drive you home again tomorrow. Coming up this afternoon, Fred Armisen, Saturday Night Legend, Saturday Night Live Legend, and a Portlandia creator, amongst other things. He's going to be joining us. We've got Robert Whittaker, UFC fighter, Glenn Robbins, and a lot more. But let's start up with Lee Sales every Monday to Thursday on the ABC. She leads Arnie's flagship current affairs program, 7:30. So we thought it was only fair that we talk to Lee about one of the most pressing stories of the past month, and that is the poo jogger.
Hey, Lee. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Good. How are you?
Great to have you swing by. We're going to start with a big one, the poo jogger. Now, it's a female poo jogger in the Sydney area. Now, I've asked this already. Jane's knocked herself out. I'm just making sure it's no one in the inner circle we need
that
to worry
about. Oh, yeah, you cannot imply the great Lee Sales.
I just want Lee to hear from Lee.
First of all, do you jog, Lee?
That's can you, really can you account for your whereabouts on the morning of...
That would be like, that would be better than the Masked Singer date.
Oh, my God. Wow. There's a show.
You'd have to break it yourself. 7:30 ratings would be out of control.
I might as well just end the segment here because I'm not going to say anything funny. So, today,
can I ask you, now I'm guessing it's not going to come across your desk on the ABC, but is this a modern phenomenon that we need to worry about?
I just think we need a ban on jogging, don't we?
We've
got to go.
You're across social media during the day. It's obviously got your attention. And have you seen the footage?
Yeah, but I have. And look, everyone has a laugh at the poo jogger stories because they are funny. But I do. I must admit, I do feel sort of a bit concerned for the two people because I think, man, it's a lot of public shame, isn't it?
So like, this is everyone... what I was discussing too, that there's going to be, once it is revealed, which it's going to be, that's a lot to cop as a person that, you know, when, as you say, the Masked Singer is unveiled, it's going to be. And there is a little bit of concern there. But she had toilet paper with her and it was outside Roxy's place. So
reading material. Oh, it looks like she was...
Yeah. We're not sure if it's targeted.
I was doing a bit of reading on it today. Oh, God, I just sound like such an ABC person when I tell you what I was reading up on.
You're a good researcher, Lee.
I was reading up on, like, what do doctors say? Like, is there a medical reason for why you're doing this? And there is actually, if you were putting your body under a lot of, physical exertion and strain, like, long distance running, it can sort of affect your gut motility. And so you can be sort of caught, like, needing to have diarrhea. Sure. So I don't know if any of you guys remember Paula Radcliffe, the British marathon runner, famous race where she sort of just quickly veered off to the side and sort of just went on the ground.
The Commonwealth Games marathon on the Gold Coast.
Mm. Oops. Running both ways.
Parked one en route.
Yeah.
And it's because, it's pretty disturbing, isn't it, that your body's under that much strain.
Lee, the disturbing thing is that there was a cafe just a few doors up from where this happened that was open with a toilet. So this is why we're trying to get our head around the whole phenomenon. But
I'm loving the investigative journalism.
You are.
I'm going to put it to you. It's not such a modern phenomenon, but there's more CCTV footage around these days. And in fact, this has been going on forever.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Is that discuss? Mm.
Mm. Yeah, could well be.
Then it might be a medical issue that has lasted.
You know what's going to happen? You know how sometimes when you see people running through the city now, and they're waiting at the pedestrian lights, they run up and down on the spot. I just hope no one.
They need to have a nappy on, don't they?
We never crossed that threshold. Thanks for swinging by as always.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Lee. Bye.
Sales. Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy, Kennedy Malloy. Now, for the past couple of months, Mick has opened up his very heavy wallet every Friday to fund a segment called Mick's GoFundMe.
Mick's GoFundMe! Mick's GoFundMe!
Jane, this is the sexiest segment on radio right
now. What made you think to call it sexy?
It's hot.
Why?
It's got a little window of heat.
God.
It's generating interest, not only in this country, but around the world. I'm getting submissions.
I'm very glad you have such a healthy ego.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Because people
No, it's GoFundMe. It's got nothing to do with how sexy it is.
I'm a big ideas man. It's sexy. Look, it's sizzling.
Okay.
Martin.
Yeah.
What's your big idea, mate?
Look, I reckon let's take it back to sports.
Yes.
We all love sports, right? We all love sports. So let's go for some flying fox jousting.
Hang on a second.
Okay, let me just get a visual.
Hear him out.
Flying
is big.
Fox, thumbs up.
Yes.
Right.
Jousting stick.
Oh, we love a joust.
Thumbs up.
But how do they joust?
Yeah.
Is there two flying foxes?
Yeah, there's two flying foxes, two zip lines, right? And they're sort of
going towards each other.
And they meet in the middle, right? And so you've got one person on each side.
Martin, that's the type of thinking that puts you above and over the top.
Hey, Carly.
Hi there.
How long have you had this idea in your head?
About a couple of weeks.
All right, now let's hear it.
All right, it's a drone drink tray for stadium.
Oh, and
pay for your drinks through the app on your phone.
Yeah.
And then you put in what stadium you're at, what your seat number is, delivers the drink straight to you, and takes the empties away, and you don't have to move.
Oh, my God.
That's not bad.
That is very good. And I can, honestly, in about 2 years, I reckon that'll be happening.
You'll have one delivering that to your lounge room.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys.
What's your idea?
Mine's, like getting an aluminium can, beer or whatever, that changes colour when it's exactly at the right temperature to drink. So it's right, ice cold, because you put stuff in the freezer.
They're not ready.
The time you forget about it.
You know, it's not ready. Or if you go up to an Esky, you can look at all of the cans.
That's
and go,
true.
Oh, I'll have the one that, these ones are ready, or these ones are medium rare.
Because there's nothing worse than not having that beer icy, icy cold, is there?
It's still half cold.
Oh, my God.
Put it in the bin.
Hey, Mark.
That's a good
that
idea.
That is right up there. Hold on,
Lawrence.
There.
So bringing back a bit of common courtesy to all the drivers in Melbourne, if you don't give a courtesy wave when someone pulls over for you, it blows one of your tyres.
Okay.
You're like a sniper.
We have a clubhouse leader.
What is that?
Lawrence. No.
How does it happen?
It's rude.
I agree. I'd want that.
It'll be a button on your dash, which automatically...
And it could be an escalation thing, first-time offenders, one tyre, second-time offenders, two tyres.
I like this, Lawrence, a lot. Hello, Demi.
Hello.
Demi, how old are you?
I'm 13.
Okay, now, what would you like from Uncle Mickey to get started in a GoFund page?
Well, I'm an aspiring horse rider, but there's only one problem. My horse is dead.
Oh,
and I would like you to go fund me $500. So, and then when I become a famous equestrian rider, I'll put your initials, Mick, on my saddle.
Okay. Oh, Mickey.
Oh, that's adorable.
How can you resist that?
I've got a couple of questions. Now, Demi, what's the $500 going towards? A new horse?
I'm buying a new horse.
What type of horse?
I belong an Australian stock horse.
Well, I'm prepared to invest in a Shetland.
You're not putting Demi on a Shetland. She's not a clown act.
Or a Clydesdale. I'll give you the $500 for Clydesdale.
Demi, I won't let that happen. Have you got your eye on a horse now?
Yeah, I have a couple in mind.
You're not like a spoilt little girl who goes, Daddy and Mummy, I want a pony and I want one now.
No, I've been waiting for nearly 2 years.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, what have you asked your parents? What do they stand on this?
I've been begging, but they say no. Money.
Very
Demi's
good.
Demi's pushed
wish.
Her case.
Yeah.
And so my initials will go into the saddle. Is that right?
Yeah.
Like Zorro.
John, tell us about your idea for Mix GoFundMe.
Every winner, every tradie wants to wear his flannos, but you can't because they're not fluoro. So fluoro flannos.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
hang
fluoro
on.
Flanno. Oh,
that is genius.
Sometimes you just get punched in the face with a good idea.
Wow.
It's a fluoro flanno.
And they make a quid. You make a quid if you made them up and sold them.
John, you better go and trademark that stat, mate.
Yeah.
It's a fluoro flanno. So you wear it to work.
Even sounds good.
You wear it to work and then you just
then
knock
you go
off
out with
and you
your
go straight to the
on.
Pub.
That's it. It keeps you warm.
Mate, you got your collar and your cuffs already.
You probably want to take, you don't want to crash at home in bed without changing.
In your fluoro.
Yeah.
Mind you.
It should be good to find when you crash drunk somewhere.
Yeah.
Someone will be
people
able to find
you.
Where
there
is he?
There he is.
I can see a glow behind that tree.
John, that's right up there. We really like
Jeez,
it.
Jeez Louise. Yeah. Peter, what's your big idea, mate?
Mickey, this one will appeal to you.
Yes.
A fridge with Lazy Susans in it.
Oh.
So then, when you get the cheese and it's up the back, you just spin it round.
Hang on a second. Let me go through this. This is not bad.
This is quite interesting. You mean every shelf?
So I don't have to reach up the back and knock through stuff.
Every shelf has a Lazy Susan on it.
And you just spin the... Oh, jeez.
Hang on.
Is the fridge itself round?
Square on the outside, but round in the middle, so stuff can't fall over.
Peter, when did you think of this?
No, I've always thought about it. I thought, why hasn't anybody invented this? It's so annoying. Because my fridge is just
so always reaching through, and you're knocking your sword over.
Knocking over the
eggs,
and
then it gets
and
forgotten
the
about because it's up the back.
Or gets mouldy up the back.
You sneak in late, and everyone's in bed, and you're trying. You need a beer, and you're going, "Oh, I don't want everyone to know I've gone for another beer."
Yeah. Oh, Peter, you're genius.
Hey, Peter, put a pin in that. Hey, good ideas, everybody. You really did have great ideas.
Well, I'm exhausted. It's like a think tank for the really almost
gifted.
Kennedy Malloy.
Our next guest, Fred Armisen, can pretty much do the lot. He's a multi-award-winning and Grammy and Emmy-nominated actor, comedian, voiceover artist, screenwriter, producer, singer, and musician. Best known for his work on Saturday Night Live.
Action. I am your mother!
iPhone. Everything you will ever need.
Would have been easy to turn my back on John McCain. But I didn't.
He also co-created, wrote, and starred in the series Documentary Now, Los Espookies, and Portlandia.
I want someone who accepts me for the kind of, like, fake at first a little bit, but then gets gradually more and more honest as the relationship goes on kind of guy that I am.
Along with TV appearances in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, 30 Rock and Broad City, and films like Anchorman 2, Eurotrip, and many more. We welcome to the show, Fred Armisen.
Did we miss anything, Fred? Have we got it all?
No, it sounds like you covered it all.
Did you like that? Is it weird hearing your history and your career and just, you know, a one-minute grab?
It's funny because I forget about some of them.
Well,
so there's some come up that I think, oh, that one. Yeah.
It's like an in memoriam package, isn't it? But you're still with us.
But you're here. And we love the fact, Fred, we're talking with you and I'm really fascinated and love the fact that you love Australian music.
Most of my adult life has been music has been a big part. Oh, of course.
Good for you.
That's great. Yeah.
Do you have a favourite?
I'd say going back to the birthday party, Hoodoo Gurus.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Currently Courtney Barnett.
She's
amazing. How good is she? So you're here in Australia. You wouldn't know much about us. I'll give you fast track. If you're up north, it's safe to swim in all the rivers.
Okay.
It's too late. I'm going to swim now.
No. There's crocs.
And you should do some backpacking. No, we love backpacking.
Again, there have been a lot of people murdered by mysterious backpacker murderers.
Apart from that, you'd be right.
I mean, what about walking through the outback? Is that advisable?
Not alone.
Not alone.
You know what? Unfortunately,
put some shoes on.
Come on.
As they say, don't swim in the water at this time of year. Trust them.
Wow.
Yes. Apart from that, we've got a lot to offer.
Yeah. It's all there. You know what? Famous people in Australia are famous for punching sharks in the face.
Yes.
So if you get this is a bit of thing, if you want to be an honorary Australian and you get attacked by a shark, you turn around and you punch it on the nose.
It's one way to stop it.
Way of stopping it. And it's very embarrassing for the shark. He has to go back and go, oh, I've had a bad day. I've had a bad day at the office.
I got punched in the nose.
Fred, can we talk about your heritage and your comedic background, which is so interesting to so many people.
Can I start with Saturday Night Live, which is of particular interest to us because we did a national Saturday night show here in Australia, which went okay.
A few other people,
It was called The Late Show. And we used to love and admire Saturday Night Live. I've read all the books. And I'm just anyone who's ever been that close to the engine of it, I always like to get their experience.
The whole thing was like a surreal, happy dream.
Yeah.
Such a blast. I also grew up loving Saturday Night Live, still watch it, and I'm also obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with all the lore around it, and I'm obsessed with just the different cast members, the different groups of cast.
Correct.
How it changed and reinvented itself. And also the surprise stars. That Will Ferrell was one of those. First they thought, that he was just
more dancing.
Yeah.
I remember watching him going, yeah, he's okay. Then Wooshka.
And then he's the guy.
So I'm a big Bill Hader fan.
Oh, yeah. He's a genius.
And so I like his pitch, which again is low key. It's not big.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's really smart in the casting of Saturday Night Live, because you need diversity in that way as well.
Yes. And it's something that just happens also a little bit by accident.
Okay.
The right mix of people, all of a sudden you'll have this cast that's like, this is perfect.
Keep it like that.
There'll be some people out here who may not be familiar with your work on that show. If we play a bit from The Californians, which is just extraordinary, and your character, Stu, which is, to me, there aren't many things that make me laugh out loud every time, but this is one of them. Stuart.
Devin? What are you doing here?
There's nothing going on, Stuart.
Sick of who? Get back on San Vicente, take it to the 10, then switch over to the 405 North and let it dump you out into Mulholland where you belong. get out of here.
And that was with Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig, by the way.
They're both open class. Yeah. And everyone trying not to laugh, by the way. Goes down.
What is lovely too, sorry Mick, I was going to say, I love the fact that you're a bit obsessed and again, because you're an observational comedian with accents, but not necessarily foreign accents, the American accent, how it's changed over the years, but how you tap in then to the California accent from the 20s, 30s, how the accent has changed.
Yeah, that's happened in America. All I can go by is like by footage of TV and film. Early sort of 1900s, there was almost the farmer and the manufacturer. There was a sort of almost Dutch sound to it.
I can hear that.
Yeah. And then it would move. That's just saying the 60s. How did they sound?
Well, the 60s, a lot of people were really surprised. People were in shock. They were in shock. So I was watching videos and they would interview people who always looked like they were in shock.
And what about the 90s?
The 90s had a sarcastic, ironic quality to it.
Unimpressed.
So, sure, big deal.
We're very lucky to have you here.
Thanks, Fred.
What an absolute thrill. This is Kennedy Malloy. Melbourne Cup Day, Jane and Mick are not here. Spiritually, they are, though. It is Kennedy Malloy's rostered day off, back tomorrow, of course, in studio. Glenn Robbins, who is a friend of the show and someone who's known Mick probably longer than most of us here. In fact, he thinks he's the best person to write Mick's memoir. Glenn Robbins.
Glenn, you said that you, of all people, I think this is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You could write the memoir of Mick Malloy. Mm-hmm. And there's a menu of topics that...
Well, these could be chapters.
Be careful. I'll see you.
All right, well, for example, the bikies are in town.
Oh, the bikies are in town.
What was that?
Don't you remember that?
No.
Well, there's one there which is called the Adelaide Crossing.
Yes, the Adelaide Crossing.
We're in Adelaide with Robin Stilson and Malloy.
Oh, yes.
And we were crossing the road and we made the observation that the lights were pretty slow in Adelaide. Remember that?
Yes, correct.
As in the pedestrian lights.
It took a long time.
Took a long time.
That's odd.
And then Mick went and did the show. And then we don't see Mick from the time we finish the show to the time we're about to start the next show. We don't see him.
So nearly 24 hours.
Nearly 24. You don't see him. Anyway, he turns up and backstage. He goes, you know how the lights are really slow? He goes, in that time, I picked up a girl.
You picked up a chick at the crossing.
The lights in Adelaide. Well, I was walking down the road and I could see her. She was beautiful. And I go, oh, my God. I've still got 100 metres to get there. And I go, Adelaide Lights. I'm on here. And she was still there by the time I got to the crossing.
Yep. Is that not slightly creepy?
No. We went and had a drink. And...
Yeah. Okay, anyway, he meets her. So then the next night, we are backstage. And I go, g'day, Mick. How are you? Oh, you're not bad. What's wrong?
What happened?
Yeah, you know that girl I picked up a lot. Yeah. Well, she goes out with a guy from a bikey gang. They're the words out. And Jeff Stilson and I are there going, and he's going, oh, they could be in the audience tonight. And Jeff Stilson goes, I'm leaving. I'm going now. Let's go. We're getting a plane. Get out of here. And
so
then even when the show finished, we still were checking the back door to make sure there wasn't a gang out the back door.
And I said, just make sure you move around a lot on stage. was my only writing instructions. Anyway, we all did pretty quick sets that night.
I can imagine if it. Now, what about call the doctor?
Call the doctor?
No, we won't tell that.
Oh, better.
I did do a character call. I did do a doctor. I did. We were on tour once and you couldn't turn up. And I had to. I don't know whether I can say it, can I?
Yeah, you can say it.
Really? Hang on.
Dr. Ting Tong. Dr. Ting Tong. It was Mick's doctor that traveled.
It was my idea, by the way. I made him do it.
Yeah, and he would then. And I won't do the voice now. I will not do the voice.
No, because you can't.
Just give us an example.
No, I can't.
Oh. Come on, it's very funny.
I've learned from that because I've tried to do.
And he had people respond.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's just leave it. Okay.
Okay.
So that was all right.
That was the doctor. Yeah.
What about? Was that the one where I came in late because I'd forgotten what time the show started? Remember, it was a Sunday show, and
it started early.
It started an hour early, and I walked in, and you were already on stage.
Yeah.
I've come in the back of the theatre. Normally it's empty.
Yeah.
And it's full. Yeah. People laughing. I've got hairs on. It was you.
And you were supposed to be there already.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's laundry? What's the chapter laundry time?
Oh, okay. So the only time I would see Mick between finishing the show and starting the show, occasionally I would get a call around about 5:30. He would say, "Oh, hi, Glenn. Mick. Oh, hey, Mick. Yeah, good. Can you pop around to my room?" And you're going, "That's a call you don't want. When you're on tour, you're in your room. You don't go back to anyone's room."
Glenn.
He goes,
"Be careful.
What?
Whatever.
Let's hear it." So I go around to his room, and he goes, "My shirt, I don't know how to iron."
Now, I'm not laughing because I know that is absolutely true.
And then he said, "Couldn't you put a load of washing on?" He had a little laundry, and I put a load of washing on, and I had to teach him how to put a load of washing. And
well, that is your mother's fault, who doesn't teach you and keeps doing it.
I shook out his underpants for them, laid them out, and put some talcum powder down.
And then did you put them on his box?
Yeah.
Well, we have bunked together. You know, we know each other. We can do those stuff.
Right? Yeah, no, it's fine.
This, I think, will be a bestseller. There's too many other subjects for us to get to today, unfortunately. Spruiking Russell Coit.
Do you remember that?
No. What was that?
We go to a restaurant. Okay, we're going to go to break.
No, well, you can go. Okay.
We're in Adelaide, and Adelaide has a beautiful section where they have a really nice restaurant, Al Fresco, and the windows were open that night because it was a warm night. And I was sitting in the table quietly. For some reason, Mick walks out into the area where people are going back and forth. "Ladies and gentlemen, would you like to meet Russell Coit? Who would like to sit down and have dinner with Uncle Arthur? Oh, look who it is over there. It's Kel Nye." Do you remember doing that?
I have a vague memory. Hey, because I know you love that. I know you love it when people come up and want a selfie with you and introduce themselves to you and then sit down for a chat.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is what you love.
You two together, I couldn't think of anything else than bunking down.
It'll be a movie. Make a movie out of it.
Well, we'll see each other over summer, will we? We'll go away on a little golf trip at some stage, or...
Well, I hope to see you for a little bit of cuddles and ball hitting.
All right, that's enough. Top and tail. Stop it.
Well done, Glenn. Thanks for hanging around. Yeah. Somehow Related to the podcast. It's
go
a ripper.
Check it out.
It's fun.
This is Kennedy Malloy. It is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy here. You're listening to Kennedy Malloy, and it's thanks to the Holden Colorado, which is now backed with 7 years free scheduled servicing across the 4x4.
How many years? Say it again.
Seven. 7 years.
You haven't gone mad. Say it again. Can you just check that?
No, I know it.
Is a copywriter an idiot? No. Are you saying to me
7 years free?
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got a bloke on the line
who
has towed close to 3.5 ton across Australia in the form of a pterodactyl.
I'm looking at the photo now.
You heard me correctly.
A pterodactyl.
Trevor, the pterodactyl. Rodney, are you there? Tell us about your Holden Colorado, mate.
Oh, I tell you what, I've had a few utes in my time, and it is by far the best I've ever had.
How so? What do you love about it?
Just the way it goes, the loads it can take. I use it for everything. I use it for on bitumen, four-wheel driving, loading firewood.
There's nothing you can't do.
But there is something
that you've... Surprised I haven't shot one into space.
Yeah.
There is something that you've towed that's quite unusual, and I can relate to this. You've towed a pterodactyl, is that correct? Life-size.
Yeah, that's right. I have, Jane. Yeah, my wife bought it at a nursery, so we thought, well...
So
we
it's iron, but it's iron, isn't it? It's wrought iron, pterodactyl.
Yeah.
And it's bloody big. We'll post a picture.
Yeah, we'll
post a picture.
Looks fantastic.
See it. Good on you, Rodney. Another proud owner of the Holden Colorado out there.
Congratulations.
And doing it in the boons for Australia. Well done, mate.
We'll get you a prize, too, coming your way for being a Colorado owner. Appreciate
that. One of the greats. Yeah, welcome aboard. It.
That's our Rostered Day Off show for today. The guys are back live tomorrow in studio. It's so much packed into each show. If you missed any, why don't you get the podcast and catch up anytime. KennedyMalloy.com.au.